I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
This is all about having a good time.
Live from the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the show. This is a special edition Friday, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. My thanks, Mike V, in producing tonight. Mike, thank you very much for coming in tonight. Dave Philpott, who has helped out with some of the interviews and some of the sound that we will use on this show here tonight. We will hear from Owen Coyle later in the show. We're going to talk about the FC Dallas transition game, something the Dynamo will have to get 100% a grip on in that derby match on Sunday. It's 4 o'clock Central Time. You can catch it on ESPN2. By the way, what I think is very cool for Houston Dynamo fans and fans of Major League Soccer, Sunday you go global when it comes to rivalry games and derbies, clasicos, whatever you want to call them, because around the world, you've got the Merseyside derby with Liverpool taking on Everton. You've got Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid. You got other great games that maybe not term rivalry games, but you've got Dortmund and Bayern Munich. You've got PSV and Ajax, Juventus and Bologna, Milan, Napoli. There's just a boatload of unbelievable games this weekend. I'm not sure it's possible to see every one of them in their entirety. But you may have to pick and choose. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in throughout the show tonight. So make sure you get it off your chest tonight. We want your opinion. We want you to be a part of the program. All right, so throughout the night, those numbers are open. I've got tickets to the Dynamo and Santos Laguna, courtesy of Amigo Energy tonight. We will give some of those away. I forgot to mention Arsenal, Manchester United also this weekend. It's unbelievable. Streaming at ESPN975.com. That's also where you get the podcast. You click the audio vault. You click Soccer Matters. In studio here tonight, got a couple of great guests here. Naib Moran here from ESPN FC, covers Liga MX and El Tri. Of course, we're going to talk about that October 10th United States-Mexico match, which not only is going to line a lot of pockets financially, but it's going to be a sellout, and it is for the trip to the Confederations Cup, and it is a game we're all very, very, very interested in. Also, from BN Sport, the one and only Felipe Valenzuela, also in here tonight. Gentlemen, welcome into studio tonight. Naib?
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Thank you for having me here in the show.
Always
love to Felipe as well. Interesting weeks. Yeah, a lot of games. Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid will be interesting. Atletico starting slow this season, actually.
Yeah, I saw a little quote there about the manager. And we all know Diego Simeone is this very passionate manager. But players were talking about tactics, change of system and all. Does it really make that big of a deal to Atletico? Isn't this team all about attitude, the way he manages it, the way he coaches it, based on his playing career?
It's the DNA. I mean, defensively, They're one of the marquee teams. I mean, I think it's practically the offense that has to be worked a little bit with. There's a lot of talented players up there.
You know, it's interesting, Felipe, because you look at coaches sometimes, and you know, we're not in the locker room. We see how they handle themselves in the media, the press. We see based on the performance of their teams, what they do. But generally, they have strengths in certain areas. So in the case of like a Simeone, is it really all about Simeone, the motivator? How much of it is about the tactician? You know, in the case of Klinsmann, everybody says, just a motivator, not really tactically astute, which I can't firmly believe. I mean, maybe it's not quite as much his strength, but they used to say Yogi Löw, when he was with Germany, did a lot of the tactical side of things. So isn't it interesting to look at managers and really figure out where are their big strengths?
You know what? I do believe Diego Simeone, since he arrived to Atletico Madrid, he's doing a really good job. I mean, if we compare apples with apples, I mean, you got to see that Real Madrid, you know, just the salary on the players. I mean, Atletico Madrid, they have very good players, but we're talking about different salaries. For some people, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo is the best player in the world, and I'm sure we'll talk about Lionel Messi. He will be out for a while. He will be missing Barcelona. I mean, either if you are a fan of Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi, I mean, you're always going to debate that. I mean, but we're going to miss the player Lionel Messi, the way that he plays in the field. A lot of people, of course, they don't like Lionel Messi. But, you know, we got to understand, you know, that Lionel Messi is a good piece in the Barcelona. Going back to Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, I think the coaches, Rafa Benitez, he's a really good coach. I don't know what you guys think, but I mean,
toughest test for Benitez.
Correct.
Though.
But I mean, the team is already there. Benitez goes to the Real Madrid and the team is already made. You know, the way that Carlo Ancelotti left the team is pretty much the same thing. I mean, how many changes can you make in the 11 plays for Real Madrid? How many players can you say, you know what, I'm going to make a change right here? They are the same players in the field.
Oh, isn't he brought there, Naib, to win the La Liga title and win the Champions League? I mean, let's face it, Carlo Ancelotti wasn't that far off.
I mean, it's a complete team. I mean, you see Gareth Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo, James Rodriguez. We'll see how the ankle is doing when he comes back. I mean, it's a stacked team. Kovacic, who came from Inter de Milan, is also another good midfielder there that will be added to the mix. And Toni Kroos as well. I mean, I think in general, it's a really stacked team, but we'll see. La Liga, a lot of changes can happen. I mean, I think Simeone already set the example about two seasons ago of how each game is important. And, you know, if you drop points against a mid-table, lower-table team like Ancelotti's Madrid team did that season, then, you know, there's a good possibility that there could be surprises towards the end of the season.
Real Madrid's Alvaro Arbeloa called this game the game of the season for them. I mean, it's, you know, we hear that a lot, but this is a big game because it is a derby match. There is a lot of emotion around it. There is the sort of the rich man, poor man angle to it, right? What else stands out to you in this game? Is this purely about Atletico nerve, strength, mental strength against the elite of Real Madrid?
I think, I think you can say the Real Madrid fan or the Madridista is going to always say that, you know, Atletico Madrid does see the importance of this derby. But I think what has happened in the last years, you know, that mental factor you talked a lot about, Glenn, in making these players believe that they can beat Real Madrid. It used to be that Real Madrid will always win this game. And what we hope for is that there's going to be some equilibrium between the two teams and both teams can go at it. There won't be a big difference between both teams. It can be pretty equal.
Yeah, three times the payroll for Real Madrid. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just astounding the money that's thrown around and what some do with lesser resources when it comes to the financial output.
And I guess, you know, the fans, and I understand, you know, they always, so we see the Liga with three teams, which will be Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Atletico de Madrid. Villarreal is pushing a little bit right now. But I mean, if we go season after season, we're gonna see two teams, Real Madrid and Barcelona. That's for sure. Then Atletico de Madrid, you know, they're doing a good job with Diego Simeone. And right now, believe it or not, you know, Villarreal is pushing it. You know, last week they were in the first place. So I wish that league can be a little bit more competitive with the teams. But we know at the end it will be Barcelona or Real Madrid to be the champions of the Liga. I mean, I'm not disrespecting the other teams, but I mean, we know there's 1-2, 2-1 in Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Naib Moran and ESPN FC, a writer for covers the Liga MX, El Tri. Felipe Valenzuela, BN Sport in studio with me. Glenn Davis tonight, special edition of Soccer Matters here on Friday. And we've got interviews tonight with Giles Barnes. We'll run an Owen Coyle interview. Giles Barnes, you're going to have some fun with that interview because during the interview with Giles, we got into talking a little bit about dogs, believe it or not. Because Giles has a dog and I have a dog and he was with his dog and his dog, I think, ran off during the interview. So you'll have some fun with this interview. But he also talks about a very long season, the emergence of Will Bruin and more. Is that the problem with La Liga? Because when people love to do the comparison of what's the greatest league in the world, the first thing they say about La Liga, it's not competitive enough, top to bottom.
I mean, when you sit from that side point, I mean, I think it's obvious. But when you see the European competitions, Champions League and Europa League, there you can see somewhat that there's some type of difference with the team. Sevilla, you know, then you have Athletic Bilbao, you have Villarreal that's in the competition, hasn't reached the later rounds, but it's around there always. And then, of course, you see Atletico Madrid and the Real Madrid were in the final just a couple of seasons ago, and Barcelona won last season. So, I mean, I think when you see the European competitions, you do see a difference between the Spanish clubs to the English clubs and the German clubs in some way or another.
Yeah, it seems sometimes the Premier League, as of late, having a little bit of trouble in you know, these Champions League and Europa League.
I think... you know, we talk about La Liga in Barcelona and Real Madrid, you know, they're everywhere, fans and the whole world and everything, especially USA. But we are forgetting some teams for Bundesliga. We're forgetting Bayern Munich. I mean, Pep Guardiola is just doing an amazing job with the Bayern Munich. I mean, Champions League is very different than any league in the whole world. We're talking about Bundesliga. We're talking about, you know, La Liga.
Playing styles. I mean, there's so many cool things. That's why I love the Champions League, because it's differing playing styles. It's differing cultural environments these teams have to go in. I mean, these games to me are so fascinating. When you see a giant like a Real Madrid, a Barcelona,
Juventus,
whoever, end up in an Eastern European country, this to me is absolutely fascinating, because this becomes more than soccer. This becomes the game of the year.
Sure.
It's cultural. They're edgy environments. It's fascinating.
For this year, I just love the way, I mean, the Pep Guardiola is doing his job with Bayern Munich. I mean, how many times have they said, you know what, Pep Guardiola has to go and everything? But he's doing a really good job. I am sure, you know, that Barcelona miss Pep Guardiola, because he did everything with Barcelona. He won pretty much everything. So what do I think about Pep Guardiola? I mean, he is, to me, he's a genius in the game and everything. Do I think he's better than Luis Enrique? My own opinion, yes. I do believe that he has a better talent as a coach.
But I'm going to say something in defense of Luis Enrique. Not that you're not saying he's not a good coach, but for him to get Luis Suarez,
Neymar,
for him to get Neymar, and for him to get Lionel Messi all playing together, that man has some talent of managing human beings and people's personalities. Because you guys, as well as I know, heard everybody say it's not going to work.
Yeah,
everybody said it.
And
that
happened around January. You know?
That, so for me, this was one of the managerial jobs of the year last year, if not the job of the year.
You know what? And I'm a fan of Cristiano Ronaldo, but we got to understand between Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, I think Lionel Messi is more humble. I mean, he...
You think?
Cristiano Ronaldo got a problem already with Benzema. We know that already, because I'm going to do this. I remember way back when Gareth Bale was signed by the Real Madrid, you know, they made a statement. And I'm sure Cristiano Ronaldo talked to someone and said, you know what, you better make a statement that I'm going to be the player or the guy of the team. And I'm going to do the free kicks, the penalties, and everything. I mean, do the fans know that? Maybe some of them they don't, but I mean, I do believe.
Yeah, but every team's got a player of that caliber who wants that responsibility to take set pieces. Come on. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The man's got an ego. Of course he does. He doesn't become one of the best soccer players in the world without it. The stuff that I don't like as much is the selfies, the six packs and all that. And that's why I don't think without a doubt he will, without question, come to the United States at some point because he wants to be like Brand Beckham. He wants to be Brand Ronaldo.
Yeah.
That's, I think, why I find Messi, to me, a little more genuine. He could be the guy riding a skateboard going down the street. I mean, I don't think he really cares about that. I think he kind of does some of the commercial stuff because he has to. But I think this guy, to me, just he wants to play football. And that's to me, that's attractive in a world now where everybody's trying to commercialize themselves, whether you're a football player or a singer or, you know, somebody who's fooling around on the internet with your camera.
Correct.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Before we go to break, we got a lot more to go here tonight with Naib Moran in studio, ESPN FC, Felipe Valenzuela of BN Sport. Right now, New York City FC's got a 1-0 lead over DC United in the nation's capital. The Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24/7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, down to 18-wheeler accidents, boat and car, wrongful death. You got to have an attorney on your side. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. With the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest in your times of trouble a little bit more assured because you've got a lawyer that is hard-hitting and he is on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Bilingual, 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. Soccer Matters thanks the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit for all their support. Right now, I've got a pair of tickets courtesy of Amigo Energy. Pair of tickets right now for caller number 7, Houston Dynamo Santos Laguna, October 10th. It is a Saturday at 7 p.m.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Hustle Town on ESPN 97.5. Here's Craig Shelton and Jason Braddock.
Well, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm not Craig Shelton. I'm not Braddock. I'm Glenn Davis, and this is Soccer Matters. It's a very appropriate song, Mike V. I'm always pleased to introduce myself, but we know when it comes to soccer, it's Soccer Matters here. In studio, Felipe Valenzuela, BN Sport, Naib Moran, ESPN FC. We got to let this go a little bit, Mike. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Because I want these guys to hear.
Damn sure.
I want them to hear this.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you can guess my name.
That's not a bad cover right there.
Yeah.
Stones do it better, but
what's
that's not bad from Guns N' Roses. Welcome back. Number to call in 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Quick word here for Amigo Energy, who, by the way, are helping us pass out a bunch of tickets to the Dynamo Santos game. With the passing of Labor Day, Houstonians know that right now, maybe you're putting your summer clothes away. You can always wear orange representing the Houston Dynamo. Though the summer's over, it's never a bad time to think about who your electricity providers are. Amigo Energy has a new featured product for Soccer Matters listeners for the month of September. You want to save money? Change over. It's With back to school over, it's time to get back to basics with Amigo Energy Basics 24-month program. Amigo Energy Basic 24. There's no minimum usage fees. There's no customer service or payment fees. Just a great low rate. I like to save money. So do you. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. That's amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Sign up for the Basics 24 today or call 888-995-9299. And tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. That's 888 800-995-9299. By the way, sign up now. You'll get two tickets to the Dynamo Santos match while supplies last. So another great way to get some tickets as well as save some money. Again, it's AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. All right, we welcome you back in studio. Let's begin to switch our gears a little bit to Jose Mourinho, because I think this is fascinating. Year three, he's generally spent 3 years with clubs. He has the incident with the team doctor,
yeah,
who's now apparently got lawyers involved. He's had some really erratic moments in the press. His team is not getting the results. Now we're hearing that there's some turmoil in the locker room. Your thoughts, Naib, on this manager? And it's not to say he's become a bad manager, but his style could have a part in all of this, couldn't it?
It could be. I mean, they just lost this week against FC Porto over there in Portugal, 2-1, if I'm not mistaken, was the final score there. It's difficult to understand. I mean, it's a really complete team when you see it. I mean, it's William, you know, Diego Costa, Fabregas. They brought Pedro from Barcelona. The results just haven't been there, I think. Definitely, I do see Chelsea still being one of the contenders in the Premier League because of that squad that it has alongside, you know, Manchester City.
14th but, in the table right
but
now.
But Diego Costa hasn't done anything. Nothing.
But I still...
He's a good player, but I mean...
You like him as a player? Like, I had Alexi Lalas on the show, and Alexi says to me... that we need villains and all that, but I get tired of the antics. I mean, it's almost as though he spends 90% of his time just trying to draw free kicks and instigating stuff. I like a little bit of that, but when that's the dominant phase and part of your game, I don't know. And he is a talented soccer player. We know
I
that.
I mean, it's an interesting case with Diego Costa, because when he succeeded in the Atletico Madrid season, that they won the Liga and they reached the final in the Champions League. I mean, off the pitch, he's a nice guy. That's one of the things I want to point out. It's kind of like Hristo Stoichkov. Stoichkov is a nice guy, he's off the pitch, but on the pitch, he just was just like a devil.
You know, Stoichkov once broke a kid's leg at American University in a practice game.
That was
And it was a very ugly tackle. Yeah. He just lost his mind.
Yeah, there's brutality in that case. I mean, and that's something with Diego Costa. Unfortunately, I think one of the things that's affecting him is his time with the Spanish national team, because his style doesn't even have nothing to do with Spanish football style, which is like
and I agree with you. I don't think Diego Costa is the right fit for the, you know, with the Spain team. I mean, a lot of people. I mean, let's remember back then. You know, Brazil was fighting for him. Spain was doing the same thing. They were like going nuts for him. And I mean, he decided, well, I'm going to play for Spain. Of course, you know, because Brazil, you got Neymar. I mean, and he was the figure of the team, but. I remember, you know, they were waiting for the right decision to play. I mean, he's playing for Spain. But, you know, in my opinion, Glenn, he hasn't done anything. No, Diego Costa. And I think that you know, Jose Mourinho is so spicy, so he gets mad for everything with the media, with the fans, with his players. I mean, I like him when he was at Real Madrid, but right now he's going down. He's going down the hill. I don't think he's doing a great job. And... you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if he could fire.
713-780-3776. If you want to weigh in here tonight, 713-780-3776. Jose Mourinho is the topic of conversation right now. By the way, Diego Costa has come out in the press a lot defending the manager. But there is some turmoil in the locker room, apparently. This is what they're saying, if we believe the media these days. And I don't think there's any question. When you're a manager that manages like Mourinho does, and you're in a phase where you're not getting results, it's when people begin to talk a little bit. Then they feel the courage to come out and talk a little bit. And there is some criticisms coming out from ex-players and other people who maybe have their own kind of bone to pick with Mourinho. But this is the worst start he's ever had with any team. And I have to believe there are some issues in the locker room, and one of them's John Terry.
And he's getting paid a lot. I mean, Jose Mourinho went to Chelsea, I think it's $5 million per year. I mean, he makes more money than some of the players, to be honest with you.
And this could be his last year. I mean, if it's his last year in Chelsea, I'm pretty sure PSG might be knocking the door and be like, hey, Mourinho, you want to come over here? I mean, he's
not going to lack for a job.
Yeah,
we know
that. He's not going to lack of a job. And I think even though people might be I'm one of the people that I'm opposed to his ideas and his tactics, but he's still a coach that has kind of managed to integrate a style that is not of the people don't like it that much, but it's still gotten him results.
Let me ask you something, Glenn, and both of you. Who is the coach that you think that you have a lot of respect? You know, it could be right now, or it could be a coach in the past. Who will you say, I respect this coach and his players that respect him? Name me one guy.
Well, I think we could go 100 of them. I mean, I think there's Rinus Michels, Dutch football, total football.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Sir Alex Ferguson, who I think was a master at so many things.
Ancelotti was one.
Carlo Ancelotti, you can go on.
We've seen Chelsea, but I mean, we've seen so many players that they say, you know what, you're coming out. You know, they get mad and everything. They make a big fist because they're coming out. But I mean, I never saw that with Sir Alex Ferguson. And if we're talking about projects in the long run, look at how many years we had.
Yeah, but remember, Sir Alex Ferguson, first of all, was a master at offloading people when they still had value. In other words, when David Beckham got too big, so Beckham was gone. They got great money for him. It's a great financial move as well. Cristiano Ronaldo, same thing. Smoke out in a book. He was gone. And there's a lot of these cases. He was in total control there.
Yeah.
I think he was fascinating also with the way he bought and sold soccer players.
And he said, well, Manchester United, that's an advisor. So that's a good thing for the team. I mean.
But I'm just wondering, Jose Mourinho's style is, you know, it is.
Do you like him?
Do I think he's a good manager? Yes.
Do I like the
style of play? I don't know him as a person.
If you were a player for, let's say, both of you for Chelsea, and he treats you like pretty much like nothing, he pushes you around and say, you know, Glenn, you didn't play good. I mean, would you like to be his player?
Well, first of all, I get the assumption that people have liked playing for this guy because you're going to win. And he's a winner.
He's a winner.
There's no doubt he's a winner. And players have to be managed in different ways. We don't know what goes on behind the door. I think for the game, there's times when I wake up and I go, oh, this guy's great for the game. And then there's other times where he's whining too much. I think some of this is really real now, though. I think some of this is a real different pressure that he hasn't confronted before. And I think there are some tensions and there's some pressures right now. He even looks a little different. He looks like he's gotten a lot older in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's interesting because you would consider that Chelsea was like his place. After Porto, it was Chelsea. I mean, because he finished in a bad fashion in Real Madrid, and then he decided to go to Chelsea where, you know, there's some connection with Abramovich, the owner of the team. But now, I mean, you see the table, and you mentioned it. What place is it, Glenn? 16th or 14th or something?
14th, Chelsea. Yeah.
You know, that starts a little bit to worry, and if he doesn't have a good command on, like, the leaders, let's say Terry, who's one of them. I think that's when it gets a little problematic. But he still has, you know, great players, great talents in Hazard and Oscar.
He's got players. Yeah. I don't think they did enough in the transfer window. But, look, he's doing a lot of stuff now. He's going. He's hitting out at commentators. And he just seems pulled in so many directions that it doesn't seem like he's got the focus he has had, and I think there's something real about it this time. I think there's a lot of times, obviously, you know, anybody who's a Chelsea Blue in their good times is, he's just such a magician and a master with the media, and maybe he was. I don't think there's any question, but the media manipulation now, it doesn't look as good, and it doesn't look as good because you're not getting results, and you're not in a Champions League place. He could be gone with Abramovich.
Correct.
No doubt about it. The other one who's probably on the chopping block is Brendan Rodgers. If he loses to Everton this weekend, you think he's done?
Yeah, he's done.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
It depends. Oh, it depends on if Klopp, if Jurgen Klopp is already in big talks with the club. I think there's a lot of Liverpool fans.
Is that where he's going,
Naib?
You think he's going to Liverpool?
I think that's what it's looking like. You know, he ended his time in Borussia Dortmund. I think he did great over there in Bundesliga.
And Klopp, you say, by the way, Klopp say no to Mexico, yeah, to the Mexican national team.
But Felipe, Klopp in Mexico.
Why would he want that job?
Nobody wants a job right now. I mean, that we'll talk about that later, but I mean, I think, you know, he did good saying no. I mean, because he will know that he will.
You know who would have taken that job? Thinking in the past, who took that job, who should never have taken that job, but he took it because it was a great money grab.
Eriksson. Oh, yeah.
Svenjorn Svengali. That's what I call him.
But also the complications in Liverpool. I mean, they brought in this Brazilian forward, Firmino. Who, you know, would they pay like 45 million
pounds
or something?
It all went downhill. Once Suarez left, it became different.
Sturridge got hurt as well.
Now, it brings me to something else. Felipe Valenzuela, BN Sport, Naib Morán of ESPN FC. Miguel Herrera has been linked with the Chicago Fire. Now, if you were the owner of Chicago, would you bring him to Major League Soccer? I'll start with you, Naib. As a manager, because look, he's going to draw attention. He's going to put people in the seats. As far as an attraction, he's going to be bigger than any player on that team. That's the other thing you have to consider here. Would you bring Miguel Herrera to MLS? Now, as an outsider and a fan, I say bring him on. But if it's my investment in the Chicago Fire, that is a train wreck. What do you think?
You know, the thing with Miguel Herrera is, does he want to come to the U.S.? I mean, if he sees it as a money grabber, then he might be incorrect. But if he sees his opportunity as a chance to kind of grow as a coach, which I think he showed some good glimpses in the last World Cup. I mean, that game against Croatia was perhaps Mexico's best game in the last World Cup. Right. And that showed that, you know, he was able to organize the team and block Rakitic, Modric, two great midfielders nowadays. So there is potential in him as a coach. There have been errors, of course. So the reason that he got fired is embarrassing in a way, because he lost total control of the scenario after winning the Gold Cup. I mean, which is
we knew that was a matter of time, didn't we?
It was a ticking clock.
Why was that a surprise to us? And by the way, remember Chicago did hire Carlos de los Cobos, and he struggled. He struggled, I think, with the mechanisms of MLS. I mean, this is the same challenge that an Owen Coyle has. There's all these different mechanisms the way this league is run, and unless you have support, you can't understand it. Look, I've been following this league since its inception. I still don't understand half of these player categories and everything that happens and changes at a moment's notice. So I think it would be fascinating from his personality, from a PR standpoint, that would grab some incredible momentum in Chicago.
But long term,
I'm not.
I mean, just remember. I mean, MLS. All my respect. I mean, we go 10 years ago, Glenn. Who care about MLS? Not a lot of people. Yeah, you did. But I mean, right now, I mean, MLS probably has better players than I want to say the Mexican league right now. You got the Steven Gerrard. You got Pirlo.
Hold on a second. I just heard that. You just heard Felipe Valenzuela say on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, that MLS has better players than the Mexican league. Can you respond to that? 713-780-3776. Go on, Felipe.
Let's do it. I mean, I do believe, you know, the Gio Santos is here. Beckham play here. I mean, you got quite a few players here. I mean, this league is growing really fast and big. I mean, I do agree that some of the players in the MLS, they're better than the players in the Mexican League right now. Who do we have?
Oh, said some now. Most of them
they are. I mean, name one player in the Mexican League right now that we have a big name. No one. From out of the country? No.
You can say Edwin Cardona from Rayos Monterrey. No,
but you know what? Will you take
that player? You can say Andrés Guiñac.
But will you take that guy over Pirlo? Pirlo is something else. Steven Gerrard is something else.
But a Mexican fan is going to say Pirlo's over the hill.
I think I would love to see more David Villa with
with an America.
But when are they going to hire a player like that? They cannot afford it.
But you know, any fan of the Mexican League is going to say, oh, that's just the U.S. And that's the U.S. getting guys that are over the hill for marketing purposes.
And you know what? I don't care, Glenn. You know, we have to be realistic right now. MLS is just going fast and strong. I mean, look at the U.S. Soccer team. I mean, they've been in, you know, Mexico. They don't go to the fifth game in the World Cup. USA has done it. I mean, they are getting better and better and better. And they do believe in process.
Did we really get better?
Yeah.
In the last World Cup?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's the same performance as the one before. It's the same performance
as
the one
before. What did it do in Japan and Korea? I mean, they kicked out Mexico. No,
but that was in 2002.
Yeah, but it's still, but they're still growing. I mean, don't take me wrong. I'm Mexican, and I love, my league and everything. But, I mean, we have to be honest to each other. MLS is growing fast.
No, I'm not debating that. There's
clear advancements, I'd say. Oh, but I think, clear. I mean, but like, let's say one of the things that I want to see more in MLS is see more academy players getting their chance, you know,
yeah,
in
but
a
that's
normal
time.
Way.
That's time.
But like, for example, Glenn, Jordan Morris, instead of playing in Stanford right now, he could be playing in MLS already because he has
the
talent.
Yeah, but that's not on MLS. That's Jordan Morris's choice, okay? And he is a good talent, and everybody wants him to turn pro. I don't know what his family says, and I don't know what he says. But if you're waiting for the real cresting of the wave of player development in this country, it's years off because in the case of the Dynamo, they're still trying to put it together. Okay. They can say they've had an academy for a long time, but everybody's trying to put it together now. Some teams have invested and really, really believe in it. Others are doing just enough to make you believe that they're into player development. The maturation process of this, we're in the infancy of it and we've already seen some great examples coming through. But wait till it really gets established and the whole system is placed together and you have a proper reserve team, then things can really change. And then teams like the Dynamo could go, okay, if we feel we're being slighted by AEG and we're the poor guys on the block, guess what? We're going to be the team in Major League Soccer known for producing our own.
Correct.
And we're going to invest in it heavily. We're going to believe in it. We're going to take a profit on players sometimes when we need to reinvest it into our academy. And other times we're going to have two or three local Houston kids in our starting lineup. And that's going to be the goal throughout the phase of our operation. And it's not going to be about us going and buying big stars. But you have to satisfy the fans.
Yeah, you do a lot of MLS, Glenn. Best academy in MLS right now that you might think of.
Is it Dallas?
I'm going to say FC Dallas because FC Dallas is actually using these guys. You know, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors with this, and we signed an academy player, and the guy never sees the field, and 3 years later, the kid's gone. There's a lot of that. And listen, I'm not trying to be harsh here. That's just the reality. I don't blame MLS teams for trying to gain PR and marketing capability because you have to have locals involved.
Yeah.
This is what the Dynamo have to have in the future in order to make this more of a community team, as big of a city as we are, because we're about to eclipse Chicago. Keep that thought, Felipe.
Okay.
I got to talk here real quick before we hit break because I hear music. And I'm going to remind you that summer's over, Labor Day's done, and Houstonians know that this is the time to think about electricity providers. Amigo Energy has a new featured product for Soccer Matters listeners. It's for the month of September, now into October. It's back to school over. With back to school over, it's time to get back to basics with Amigo Energy. It's the Amigo Energy Basics 24-month program. Amigo Energy Basics 24 has no minimum usage fee, no customer service or payment fees. It's just a great low rate. Go to AmigoEnergy.com/soccermatters. AmigoEnergy.com/soccermatters. Sign up for Basics 24 today or call 888-995-9299. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. 888-995-9299. You sign up now, you'll get two tickets to the Dynamo Santos match while supplies last. And right now, caller number 7, you get a pair of tickets to Houston Dynamo Santos Laguna at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. ESPN. We'll take a break. More to come.
ESPN 97.5. You
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Ah, New Order. Remember this? England used this song. John Barnes actually raps in this song. You know that, Mike V? These are the things of importance you learn on Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. By the way, I did two college games this week, one at Princeton University. I was on the road, and then I went to Alabama. And it's actually a women's game last night I did with the former U.S. Women's National Team defender, Heather Mitz. It is unbelievable, the facilities now that are out there for the college game, and especially this was for SEC Network, which, you know, it's all trickled down from the college football programs, but the facilities, the surface of the field, unbelievable. Huge, expansive, gorgeous field, quality players, and it's all because of the college football money. And, you know, some of these college players now have 60, 70% of their games on television. It's remarkable.
It is amazing. I mean, I think college, nobody can beat college on United States.
Yeah.
I don't think there is any other country in the whole world that they do the same thing. I mean, I seen Glenn in action in college, major league, international games and everything. But, I mean, all the money for the colleges, they, like he said, you know, it comes for football. I mean, how many millions of dollars they make in a ball, like Fiesta Bowl, Rose Bowl, and everything.
Such big money makers for the universities. But look at the up in Austin, Texas. There's the Longhorn Network now, which carries all the home games of the women's soccer team. Every single game's on TV. They're in cable systems around the country.
And they purchase.
If you're the women's coach, what a great recruiting tool! You go and sit in some young lady who you're trying to get to come to your great university and say, hey, oh, by the way, and 60% of your games are on TV. Oh, didn't you say you wanted to one day play in the Women's Professional League or for the national team?
Yeah.
Look at the exposure you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. And just the settings, the surfaces, this is unlike any type of college soccer I played because the fields and everything, it's not even close. It's pretty remarkable, the advancements. All right. Andreas Guardado, Naib, what's happening? Are we going to see him with PSV against Ajax this weekend?
That's probably the big chance, I'd say. I mean, he did training today in Eindhoven, which is a good sign. We don't know if he's going to start against Ajax, but the chances of him actually doing the trip and being in the starting 11 are way higher than they were last week. So Andres Guardado is a big possibility for El Tri in Pasadena. I don't know about Rafa Márquez. I think Rafa Márquez might not be ready for that game.
Do you want him in the team, Rafa?
To tell you the truth, no. I think I do see El Tri with a capable 23-man squad at the moment that doesn't need Rafa in the starting 11. He can make the trip if he wants to, but if he's not a fit like 100%, I'd say it will be a risk for Ferretti in that match.
And I disagree with that. I mean, I do believe, I mean, who is right now on the Mexican national team? I mean, I know Rafa is getting older and everything, and he's a great defender and everything. But who is the leader in the Mexican national team? We don't have a leader in the Mexican national
team. Guardado?
You know what? But he doesn't have the guts to say, you know what, guys, we're going to do this. Like Rafael Márquez. You know, Rafa Márquez, he's a true leader. I mean, I remember back then the leaders, you know, maybe
Wait, was
Osvaldo
he a leader
Sanchez?
When he headbutted Kobe Jones in the World Cup?
But
is that what you want your captain doing?
But you know what? Who's the leader of the team right now? I mean,
I think Guardado is great.
That's a fair question, though. Yeah. I think that's a great question.
I think what Guardado did in the World Cup.
I would go to Guardado.
And what Guardado did in the World Cup was amazing because not only did he score the goals,
Moreno. I will go more with Hector Moreno. I think he's the future of the Mexican national team as defender. But after that, I mean, they could give the captain bracelet to Carlos Vela. I think Carlos Vela, he's a great player,
but he's not a captain.
They could give it to...
Well, he can't be. He's not starting number one, and he's not
correct.
Producing number two.
They have to give it to Chicharito Hernandez. I don't think he's a guy, you know...
Doesn't seem like a captain.
He doesn't seem like a captain. You need to have
Memo?
The team...
He's not even
in the team.
Yeah.
He's not
gotta
even
be
in
the team.
Team
to be the captain.
Yeah, you know, but I mean... besides that, I mean, I don't think there is a guy. Maza Rodriguez, he's not a captain. Mm. I mean, you need to have someone who is going to step to the plate. Who's
so then
step-
let me ask you the bigger question here. If we're saying we don't think there's a – I think Naib and I think Guardado probably is the guy in our minds.
Yeah.
And you think it's Moreno, right?
Moreno, yeah.
Okay. But the bigger question is why isn't Mexico producing a player with more leadership characteristics that's going to stand out like a Rafa Márquez? I mean, this is a real question.
You know what?
I mean, Guardado is mature because he's playing in Europe. Maybe that has helped blossom him. And by the way, this is a true story. Andres Guardado played in Bear Creek Park when he was a little 11 or 12-year-old, drove up here on the Atlas bus.
I believe that.
Márquez played there?
He used to play there,
as well,
too. I mean,
Bear Creek Park.
Pavel Pardo played there, too.
Yep.
I mean, they – Atlas
used to come to Houston.
You know, Atlas, you know, back then, you know, they have probably the best – talking about academies.
Yeah.
They have the best academy.
Absolutely. And Efrain Flores was heading that up. But look, I took you away from it. So let's go back to the question, why – isn't the Mexican national team, in your eyes, producing more players that are that sort of leadership type of guy? The guy you look across in a locker room and you go, man, I'm glad that guy's on my team.
You know, one of the things I'd say, it's the fact that when it comes to national team level in El Tri, the coaches change often. The long-term project is doesn't exist in Mexico. And that kind of doesn't help the progression of the footballer, because one thing is as a club in the club, and
but
then
that
one thing
doesn't is that doesn't make them they're in good company, because that's true for a lot of countries.
Yeah, but I'd say that's one of the problematics. And also, you know, it's not easy for a Mexican footballer to get minutes in Liga MX, because a lot of foreigners are getting minutes nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to form that, you know, persona that Rafa Márquez had. Rafa Márquez went to Europe at a young age. Now we see it kind of with Diego Reyes. Reyes is going over. It took him a while to actually get minutes. Now he has them in Real Sociedad. One of the players that stands out for me, and he actually played here in MLS, Carlos Salcedo from Chivas. That guy has a lot of maturity, and I think he's going to be one of the leaders in the future for El Tri.
Interesting. And I get alarmed when I hear you say, and I think Mexico should be alarmed when you say that foreigners are taking everybody's jobs.
Yeah.
Because, look, we saw what it did to the English national team. We've seen lots of domestic leagues in the pursuit of getting all-star players. And, look, the Premier League's not about the English player. The Premier League is about star players,
correct,
about getting the biggest stars. But here in the United States, Major League Soccer has to make sure that the lifeblood and the backbone of every team is the American player. And even I see a little bit of a shift now that you know, look, we're wondering who, you know, why does Jose Altidore have to be penciled in as a first-team striker all the time, even though if he's not producing?
Correct.
The fact is, if you look around the rosters of the league, how many Americans are actually playing in the striker position?
You know what? Talking about leaders and the teams and national teams, I mean, Mexico's around the corner to play with the USA. But I think one of the plays for USA, Michael Bradley, he is a true leader in the team. And he should be the captain of the team.
Well, he is a lot of times. Tim Howard also is, I think, one with grand experience. I think Jermaine Jones has won the captain's armband. I mean,
but for USA, who is your captain for the team?
I like Bradley.
That guy runs.
I think it's got to be an extension of a coach, and it's got to be somebody that everybody respects. And listen, this whole notion of a locker room is everybody loves each other. That's the biggest
you play
load
soccer.
Of crap
that's
ever been put out there. I'm sorry, I can't stomach it, because there's personality, there's jealousies, there's all kinds of things that go on in every single locker room, from the Houston Dynamo, Vancouver Whitecaps to Real Madrid, and down to your college team at Creighton University. Now, what I will tell you is important, and this is where the manager comes in, is that you may not get on with somebody personally, but when you go about your business and your job, you respect that person on the soccer field and in training. Doesn't mean you got to go hang out with them every day.
No.
It doesn't mean that a guy on the bench who's trying to get minutes and isn't breaking in isn't feeling that a coach is giving somebody else an advantage. These are all natural things, things that happen in families. You know, this is all natural and healthy. And by the way, you don't want guys who aren't playing to be happy, quite frankly. You want them to be respectful. You don't want them to be happy.
Sure. Now, Jurgen Klinsmann, is he on the line? Do you think he's on the line if he loses the game against Mexico?
Personally, me, no. I don't think he's.
Do you think he's been doing a good job lately?
I think it's been a confusing job lately, and I think going into this game, it is a little bit confusing for soccer fans as to what he's done positionally, and you know what he did with Bedoya as a holding midfielder. I think it's been confusing. I think at times there's been a little lack of accountability, which, you know, I was excited when Klinsmann was hired because I thought it was time in this country that we broke out. We had a guy that won a World Cup come in here and be the coach. But we're going to get your thoughts on it as well. I think it's a little confusing going into this game with Mexico.
Yeah, lots of confusion from both sides.
We're going to talk some Mexico-U.S. when we come back. I got experts here with me. Naib Moran, Felipe Valenzuela. This is a great song. Phonique.
You're dancing. I see you dancing.
This is another one of my finds.
I see you dancing, Glenn.
give a quick word here. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7, the Houston personal injury attorney. They handle personal injury cases. Plant refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler, boat, car, wrongful death. You go to DaspitLaw.com. You talk to my friend John Daspit. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. Now, when you get the Daspit Law Firm in your camp, you can rest more assured that in times of stress, depending on the circumstances of your accident, you've got a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, contact them. They are supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, 713-364-0915, toll-free 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. And again, I can't say enough about our sponsors, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, Daspit Law Firm, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture, The Gorgeous Gale. And by the way, you're catching games tomorrow. You do it at Bar Munich in Midtown, and you do it at The Gorgeous Gale in West University. 7-Up break. Take it away, Mike V.
ESPN 97.5.